What's going on, everybody? It is Wednesday, March 23rd. We are drafting later today, a real rotisserie draft. I plan on dominating. I'm Adam Azer with two other guys who plan on dominating, Heath Cummings and Al Melchior. I accept your challenge, fellas. Let's do this.
All right. Just like you're going to dominate the points league draft we did yesterday, right? Oh, wait a second.
Yeah, no interest. I just don't want to be in too many leagues. And Heath, apparently I'm going to be in another league this year.
Yes, you are. You're going to be in the... We don't have a name for it yet. It's definitely not going to be called the Rejects League, because that's offensive.
Even though everybody's calling it that.
I've gotten several suggestions on Twitter already for what we should call it.
All right.
One of them was Adam Sucks and So Do Wins, which I didn't think was a bad name for a league, but maybe not the best name for this league.
Probably not.
But we will have a good name for this league, and it will... Should I give the details real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
14 team head-to-head categories. There are somewhere between 9 and 10 spots available. I have been compiling... I don't think that we should have a whole new round of submissions. I mean, we've got a lot of submissions.
No, absolutely not. No,
didn't get chosen.
Yeah, no more submissions. If you didn't get your submission in before the original deadline, then you shouldn't be eligible.
Now, if you did get your submission and you just want to try to convince me, I guess that's different. But I'm not going to be at work for the next 4 days, so I won't see any emails anyway.
You're not going to be at work for the next 4 days? Where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere.
Well, two of those are weekend days.
Right.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But I'll be on Twitter. I'm on Twitter every day.
And when is the draft?
The draft is 1 week from tomorrow. It will be on Thursday. I believe that is March 31st. Is that correct?
That is correct, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Thursday, March 31st at 8 p.m. This will be co-commissioned by myself and Chris Towers, who will be in the league. And it will be a hashtag team diversity league.
Okay, and that's 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Yes, Eastern Standard Time.
Well, let's move on now, and I'll tell you all that if your brackets are busted, you can make new picks for the Sweet 16 in every round for more chances to win prizes, and that includes a trip to next year's Final Four. So if you're interested, sign up at cbssports.com/brackets. And with the way things have gone this year, your brackets may very well be busted, Michigan State fans. We have a Fantasy Football Today podcast. If you're waiting for today's episode, it's probably going to be tomorrow. Jamie Eisenberg has been at the owners' meeting, so we'll have a really good podcast this week, tell you a lot of good things. We have the Opening Line podcast and many, many more. Eye on Basketball, Eye on College Basketball, obviously a great time to be listening to those. Go to cbssports.com/podcast and go to sportsline.com/podcast. Sign up for $10 a month for amazing advice. If you like to play some wagers on sporting events, sportsline.com is what you need. Only 10 bucks a month. That's extremely cheap. So you guys did your head-to-head draft yesterday. Are you playing the league out or was it just a mock draft?
We are playing this out. This is the what we call the head-to-head spectacular. We had it around for a few years, and Heath, you're the defending champ. Is
yes,
that correct?
I am. I'm the defending champ. Basically, it's a really easy way to know if I'm the defending champ of a staff league that I played in last year, and that's if I played in it.
Yeah. What about the podcast league?
Well, that's not a staff league. That was a podcast league.
Okay. Well, at least you're humble going into 2016. Now, I did want to talk a little bit about some of the picks, and then we'll come back to it later. But first thing that stood out to me was, and Heath, you had a lot to do with this. Miguel Cabrera, 15th player off the board,
right.
Number 4 first baseman. Now, you had, I think, the 10th pick?
I had the 11th pick.
The 11th? Okay. You passed Miguel Cabrera up twice. First for Altuve,
yep.
Which I, you know, that doesn't surprise me. I know how you feel about Cabrera. But then for Joey Votto, and that I just cannot get behind. Joey Votto ahead of Miguel Cabrera, who did go one pick after that. Explain yourself.
Well, I think you know how I feel about Miguel Cabrera. Now, people have said that I should not like Joey Votto either if I'm an ageist. And I guess I just feel a little bit more comfortable with what Votto did last year than I do with what Miggy did last year. Miggy has had a pretty, I don't know if pronounced is the right word, but consistent decline in his power over the last couple of years. His two worst ISO years of his career, except for his rookie year, were his last two. And so he's pretty reliant on batting average. And he had 338 last year, won a batting title, but he did so with a 384 BABIP. I don't see that as being sustainable. I think he's probably more of a 310 hitter, which is still really good. It's great if he hits 30 or 40 home runs.
He doesn't need to. Well, if we're comparing with Votto, mm-hmm. and of course Votto's great in points leagues too.
Right.
But Cabrera has, you know, great walk rate, doesn't strike out all that much. And if he had 25 home runs 2 years ago. Last year, his pace looks like it was right around that same neighborhood. I think there is still a little bit of upside, even though I know he's, you know, on the edge of the, you know, on the edge of his crypt there.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that the floor for him is 315 with 25 home runs.
Well, okay. I mean, the floor for him, assuming he doesn't get hurt.
Right. But I think all the same risks that he has, I think Votto has.
Okay.
I was just surprised. I mean, I wasn't surprised, I guess, to see Cabrera last in the second round, but I was surprised to see you take Joey Votto over him. But your argument makes sense. AJ Pollock, guys, Scott took him with the 9th pick of the second round after Mookie Betts went. Is this just an injury fear? Al, what pick did you have in this draft?
I had second overall.
So you didn't have a chance at Pollock in the second round.
No.
I imagine
no.
You would have taken him if he had been there with the 11th pick of round two.
You know, I probably wouldn't have because I got Trout with the second pick.
Okay.
And I don't know that I would have gone outfield, with Abreu and Chris Davis still on the board. It definitely would have been tough because at that point, I might have just thought, I can't pass Pollock up and
right.
He's not going to get back to me. Three picks later.
I was much more tempted to take Joey Bats or Pollock when I took Votto than I was to take Cabrera.
But didn't because you wanted a first baseman.
Well, especially like if I'd have been at the end of the second round, I might have been able to justify it. But in that position, I knew there was no chance Chris Davis was going to fall to the end of the third.
So with AJ Pollock still not back in spring training games, they're optimistic that he'll be ready for opening day. Where should AJ Pollock be drafted at this point?
I think middle of the second.
I agree. I don't think that this was, you know, a huge fall for Pollock. But yeah, I'd say roughly middle of the second round. And I think he should definitely be going ahead of Betts.
Okay, I just wanted to talk about those two things, and we'll come back to that draft. But I was going through... Well, first of all, we got a lot of really good emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. And one of them just organically brought me to Jay Bruce. And I was looking at Jay Bruce. Believe it or not, Jay Bruce finished as the 26th best outfielder in points leagues last year, and I think 32nd in Roto. And in my mind, he had a terrible year. He played 150-something games, I think, so that's going to help him just kind of rise in the standings. But Jay Bruce, basically a top 30 outfielder last year with a .226 average, 26 home runs, 9 steals. Do you make anything of that? Because obviously you can get Jay Bruce much, much later than when you're taking the number 30 outfielder.
Yeah, I admit that shocks me. And as much as we look at the rankings for things, I'm surprised that didn't make an impression on me. And I think you're right that the playing time and how that helped his counting stats had to have something to do with it because he didn't even get on base at a 300 clip.
It's kind of a weird situation because he's a low BABIP guy. I don't think anybody expects him to hit for a 330 BABIP like he did in 2010. But at 250 last year, there's a good reason to expect his batting average to rebound this year. And then he would be an on-base guy over 300, probably closer to 320. I think this is a good find, Adam. Now he has, and really there's only one season in the last, five that he hasn't played at least 155 games.
Yeah. And in that season, that was 2014. He was playing hurt during that season, right? Did he have an oblique, or am I confusing him? I know Jason Kipnis had an oblique that season, but Bruce was hampered, and I just worry that he is completely on the decline. But let's take a look at where Jay Bruce is going in terms of ADP on Fantasy Pros. We'll start with the number 44 outfielder off the board and go 6 outfielders deep here, so 44 to 50, or I guess 44 to 49. And you're going to see a trend here. Billy Burns, Jock Peterson, Kevin Pillar. Two of those three guys are steals guys, maybe three of those three guys. And then you've got sort of lower batting average home run types. Jay Bruce, Mark Trumbo, Chris Davis. So it goes Bruce, Trumbo, Davis. I feel like they're fairly similar players. How would you rank those three, Bruce, Trumbo, and Davis?
I believe I have it Bruce, Davis, Trumbo. Bruce and Davis are very close in my rankings. Trumbo is about...
Yeah, I've got Bruce all the way down at 55. So for me, it is Trumbo, Davis, Bruce.
But I do have Burns and DeShields and Revere in that group ahead of Bruce.
Right, but I guess that's probably a speed oh, power.
By the way, I'm sorry. For me, that's Davis, Bruce, Trumbo. So I think I need to bring Trumbo up a bit.
Okay. So you, because you want to put Trumbo ahead of Bruce?
I just want at least closer to him. You know, I think I do.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
like what in, because in their histories, Jay Bruce has been the pretty clearly better player. And he was better last year. And he's younger, right?
I think he's younger. They're, I think they're about the
Bruce
same
age. Bruce is 28, which seems weird. He seems like he's like
30. He's just been around. He came up, what, at 2021, I think?
Well,
21,
he'll be,
maybe?
He'll be 29 in a few weeks.
So okay, so 20, 12, 29. 29. But he seems like if you had asked me how old is Jay Bruce before I looked this morning, I would have guessed 33.
Yeah, he does feel a little old. And Trumbo is 30. I had no interest in drafting Jay Bruce. I'll just say that. And you could say he had a better year than Trumbo. I don't know if I agree with that. Trumbo hit .262 with 22 home runs in 142 games for Seattle. Now he's playing for Baltimore. Bruce, obviously, in a great park, but in danger of getting traded. I still have really no interest in drafting Jay Bruce, unless you can convince me that he can bounce back and hit around .260 at least and maybe get me 25 home runs. Then he's certainly
Oh, I think
worth...
he absolutely – that's what I was trying to tell you with the BABIP. There's okay. no reason to expect his batting average not to bounce back. He will hit – I think there's no reason to expect him to hit lower than .250.
Okay.
I don't know. And last year was his lowest strikeout rate since – let's see – 2009. Which you could take as a sign of improvement, or you could just expect that there might be some regression there that can wipe out the BABIP gains.
I mean, has he hit below 250? How many times has that happened?
2 years in a row.
The last two, and then
never.
Well, and then 2009 when he actually didn't strike out much.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, 256, 252, 262, 217, 226. So, yeah, I mean, if he has a, oh, and again, those 250s types average type averages were when he was hitting more home runs. And
right.
This is now three straight years of.
Well, he hit 26 last year and he was hitting 30 to 32, 34. I mean, that's not a huge difference. He hit .281 with 25 home runs.
Look, I mean, just to kind of wind up my point here, I think Trumbo probably is going to have a better season than him. I need to move Trumbo ahead of Bruce because I think he's got more run producing opportunities. Obviously, Bruce gets traded. That gets revisited, but I think they're similar players, and Bruce is in a worse situation.
Okay, then. Let's go to some emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Later on, we have some fill-in-the-blank. We'll go through some good and bad spring performers. We have some news for you on a guy who could be the starting center fielder for the Cleveland Indians. Maybe if you need some steals, we'll tell you about Taylor Naquin. But first, email of the day number one is from Dave Kenny from Fontana, California. The subject line of the email was, Kevin Gausman's mom.
And I thought this was going to be inappropriate.
No, it isn't. It isn't. He says, Dear June, Carol, and Claire. I don't know if those are like mothers or.
I think those are
oh,
TV moms.
Cleaver, Carol Brady, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, Claire, Claire Dunphy. I'll just say
it
Claire
It could
Dunphy.
Be Claire Dunphy. I mean, it should be. But
yeah, why not?
It might be more in the time frame of yeah. June and Carol.
It might be. Well, he says, Can we all agree to stop talking about Kevin Gausman until he actually does something in the majors? Is his mom paying you guys to bring his name up on every podcast for the last year? There are so many better players you never talk about, yet you insist on updating me on Gausman at nauseam. P.S. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. What do you think? Should we put an end to the Gausman
thing? I think if we only talked about players that had already done something in the majors, we would miss out on a lot of good prospects.
Also, I disagree that he's never done something in the majors. I think he was very good at the end of 2014 and into the postseason, which made me excited about Gausman.
Really surprising how that didn't carry over to 2015.
Yeah, very funny. So, you know, I'm just hashtag ignore Heath, I think. I'm starting a new hashtag.
I thought it was hashtag ignore Kevin Gausman was the point of this email.
Oh, yeah, we could do that, too. Well, look, he's got a shoulder issue right now. So did he get drafted yesterday?
I don't think so.
I've lowered him to the point to where I won't be drafting him.
He did not get drafted in a
12-team, 23-round. We were not in the grip of Gosmania.
23 rounds or 21 rounds?
21.
21 rounds. Okay. Email of the day number...
He definitely would have gone in round 22, though.
I'm sorry. Email of the day is from Aaron. Dear Mikey, Mouth, and Chunk. That's from the Goonies. What do you guys bring with you to the draft? ADP, overall rankings, rankings by position, projections, a custom spreadsheet. What do you bring when you draft?
My computer.
And what's on your computer? Which tab are you open?
I have the internet, which gives me all those things that were mentioned.
Which browser?
I almost always have two different browsers open.
That's absolute chaos.
Because, what if one of them freezes up and stops working? I want to have all my tabs open in both browsers.
Wow.
I have about 73 tabs open right now. I have all those things at the ready. And especially when I'm drafting with Scott and Al, I want to make sure I always have Scott and Al's rankings.
Yeah, I have the rankings open. I don't have projections, although obviously they're just a click or two away. ADP is in the draft room.
Yeah.
So I'm using the CBS draft room. That's on my computer.
Yes, I generally, except for when I'm in a league that's not on CBS, I don't use the CBS draft room then.
Yeah, but pretty much I've got our three sets of rankings open. And probably Fangraphs and Baseball Reference.
I always copy the rankings into a spreadsheet so that I can delete names as they're taken.
But you could just hit refresh.
Right.
And this is going to work for everybody. Anybody who has rankings on CBS, you get a little asterisk next to the name if they're a free agent.
Yes.
But that only works for three people.
Yeah, if you were doing a draft on one of those other sites and using our rankings, refreshing our rankings, it's not going to give you an asterisk when they get taken.
No,
so
but...
Then
But I do recommend if you could take a look maybe open our rankings, right? Scott, Al, Heath, they all have rankings on one page. And what you should do is look at your draft room, depending on what site you're on. Even if you're on CBS, because the sports line projections are what's going to power the rankings within the draft room.
It's actually a combination now.
Oh, really?
Of I don't believe my rankings are actually factored in. I think it's Al's rankings, Scott's rankings, and the projections.
Okay. Well, regardless.
It doesn't go exactly by projections.
If you find people or players that are, high on the rankings list, but not necessarily high in the draft room, you want to put those guys in your queue so you don't miss them. And I keep bringing up Danny Salazar, unless things have changed with what Heath just said about the new way things are calculated. Salazar, I always find to be low in the projection system and low in the draft room order. So I always want to queue him up because I find I've been getting him at value in mock drafts. Of course, that's not going to happen today because I just told Heath and Al my master plan. But I recommend
that was your master plan, like the entirety of it.
That's it. Yeah. Just draft Danny Salazar. All right. Next email is from Bill and he says, Dear super nerds, due to either injury or underperformance, these once highly touted but still young players all carry a question mark. What kind of players do you realistically see them becoming?
I like this email.
You like it?
Yes.
All right.
This is a fun game.
Let's go through it fairly quickly here. Will Myers.
I think pretty much who he's been. Because he came with, some upside, but also some downside in terms of strikeouts and questions about how the power would translate. So I think pretty much.
I'm going to go with Jay Bruce.
Yeah.
Who I expect. That's who I see him becoming.
Really? Well, let me tell you what Will Myers did last year before his wrist injury.
That was not an insult.
Oh, good Jay Bruce, you mean?
Jay Bruce is not bad.
It's kind of bad now.
Top
well, anyway,
outfielder.
In Will Myers' first 32 games before he hurt his wrist, he batted .291, .340 on base, and a .493 slugging with 5 home runs and 10 doubles. I'm actually pretty excited about Myers, and I don't even mind him being my starting first baseman if I neglect the position and have to wait till really late. But he's kind of a guy that I'm targeting. I know Scott likes him. He's on Scott's sleepers list, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have him ranked, 20th amongst first basemen.
So who do you have in front of him? Do you have in front of you?
I've got Park ahead of him. I've got Teixeira ahead of him. I mean, obviously the normal guys too. Carlos Santana in both formats I've got ahead of him. I've got him behind Duda, Zimmerman, and Belt right ahead of Chris Carter, Pedro Alvarez, and Mark Trumbo.
I think I would take Myers over Duda, Zimmerman, and Belt.
I really am a low guy. I've got him 27th behind Trumbo, Moreland, Alvarez, and Carter.
Why do you hate Will Myers, Al?
Well, I think partially because I don't trust him to stay healthy.
Okay.
And I'm not convinced that there's enough power there for first base.
In a normal year, yeah, but this year maybe. Yeah, he's not gonna hit the home runs that Trumbo and Chris Carter are, but he's gonna score a lot of runs. Give you other. I don't know. You're right about the power thing, but I guess it just doesn't matter to me this year. I just want a guy who's going to be productive.
No, I get that. At first base, you get beyond the top dozen or so, and you know you might as well take a flyer on somebody that you think has upside.
Then again, if you're in a 12-team league, it'd probably be better just to have one of the top dozen or so.
For sure.
Yes. Trevor Bauer.
Al does not like Trevor Bauer either. This is a list of guys Al does not like.
So far. Yeah, I think last year is as good as it gets. I thought that was going to be the breakout year. He didn't break out. I've given up.
I am still giving Trevor Bauer an upside of Tyson Ross.
Would you rather draft Trevor Bauer or Rich Hill?
Trevor Bauer for sure. Let's not say Rich Hill anymore on the podcast.
Al, you drafted Rich Hill yesterday.
I did. As my fifth starter in the reserve rounds, by the way. So I'm still not really spending anything that I'm, you know, risking on Rich Hill. But yeah, no, I would. Because I can project some better upside for Rich Hill than what I see for Bauer. And the difference between Bauer and Tyson Ross is that one's a ground ball pitcher and the other's a fly ball pitcher who has a home park that doesn't help him out very much.
The difference between Trevor Bauer and Rich Hill is 11 years.
Jeez, come
that's,
on.
That's one way to measure the difference.
that's my problem with projecting Rich Hill, a guy that's thrown 500 career innings at age 36 with a 4.5 ERA. And he was good for four starts last year and then has had a terrible spring training.
What do you think is the possibility, or I should say probability, percentage probability, that Rich Hill finishes as a top 50 starter?
Ooh. 5%?
Yeah, see, I'm thinking somewhere between 10 and 20. I don't think it's super likely, but, you know, there's a chance.
You think there's a 0% chance that 25-year-old Trevor Bauer figures it out?
Not to that level, no.
Okay. See, I just haven't given up on him.
I mean, it's not 0%, but...
You'd say more like 5%.
I'd say more like 5%, yeah.
Avisail Garcia.
I have no idea. I literally have no idea what to make of him. I've been more excited about him than I should have the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's in the same boat for me as Trevor Bauer, that I thought he would break out last year. He didn't give me any reason to think that it's coming this year. So I think he is who he is.
Gregory Polanco, a Heath Cummings favorite. Gregory Polanco.
I think he can be Lorenzo Cain without quite as much power as Cain showed last year. But I see Lorenzo Cain in his future this year.
Dylan Bundy.
That's tough.
Trevor Bauer?
maybe more. Yeah, because we could project all kinds of things onto Bundy because we've barely seen him pitch. I mean, for this year, I don't expect much. I guess that's really what we're talking about is for this year. So I think if he gets to Trevor Bauer's level this year, I'm actually probably pretty happy.
Jerks and Profar.
Yeah, again, for this year,
I don't expect much this year.
No.
I mean, they've got to have multiple injuries. I guess one to Rougned. But I don't know where he plays.
Unless they move him to outfield or something.
Right, they've got to have Hamilton stay hurt and then one of the other guys get hurt.
Yeah. If he does play, I mean, I think he could be, you know, probably not this year, but eventually could be Xander Bogaerts. But yeah, this year I don't expect much.
All right, that's Jerks and Profar. And Bill finishes his email by telling us that we are the Italy of Italian food.
We're the OGs.
You know, the biggest flaw with that question that I asked, you know, the multiple choice, it wasn't what I said about Missouri. It's that I think New York City may have better Italian food than Italy. And I've had both.
You're such a homer.
And you're digging the hole deeper now.
I'm probably the only one who's had both. Italy's Italian food was quite good.
And I forgot, people emailed us about the Hill neighborhood in St. Louis, which I've heard of. So I didn't remember that when we were talking about Italian food in Missouri.
Missouri people were not happy with Adam after that podcast.
Well, the other 49 states had my back. Jin from Anaheim has email of the day number 4. I just checked the Rangers lineup and found out that Rougned Odor is batting second behind Shin-Soo Choo. How would this affect his value in second base rankings? And so I actually took this email and did a little research. So Lionel DeShields was batting ninth yesterday, and he actually left with a mild right biceps tendonitis injury to Shields. But Odor's been batting a lot of fifth, some second, leadoff yesterday, so they're moving him around. DeShields, I think he's mostly been batting leadoff, but they're moving Odor around. I don't really have the same concerns about where he's going to bat in the order that I brought up in our second base preview. I'm sorry, Heath. I was going to say this feels more interesting to me in terms of Delino DeShields, and wondering if you feel like he needs to lead off DeShields to really be valuable in fantasy. What are you guys thinking about him?
I think Odor is being ranked as if he's going to move up in the order, and if he hits seventh again, then he's being overdrafted. I do think DeShields needs to hit at the top of the order to have value in mixed leagues.
I agree with both of those statements.
And our good friends at Roster Resource have DeShields projected to lead off and Odor projected to hit seventh, which I hope is not true.
Yeah, they have a pretty solid lineup, so I don't know where Odor would move up, but I feel like it makes sense for him to bat second.
Over Chu?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Yeah, and I think he should be more like a 5-6 hitter.
And I think the place that will be interesting will come down. These are two players that did more last year than I think the Rangers or we expected of them. But do they bat Mitch Moreland or Rougned Odor fifth?
Well, that makes sense. Then put him fifth.
You can put him fifth and drop Moreland down to seventh.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Because neither one of them could hit sixth, because you can't have two lefties in a row in the batting order. No.
That's not
against
possible.
The rules, although they probably will have Chu and Fielder back to back. So you definitely couldn't have 4 out of 5 hitters.
Okay, so looking at yesterday's mock draft, or real draft, excuse me, that I wasn't a part of, and I'm happy about that. Rougned Odor went in the middle of round 5. He went 2 picks ahead of Brian Dozier. Actually, we had a little second base run. We had Odor, then Bogarts, then Dozier, Cano. So 3 second basemen within 4 picks in the middle of round 5 in a head-to-head points league. What do you guys make of that? Odor, Dozier, Cano.
I think that's the place where Odor needs to go, and I think I have Dozier ranked ahead of him. And Dozier's actually better in a points league, so I thought that was great value for Dozier. He probably needs to go at least a round earlier, maybe even more than a round. And then once Odor goes, I think it's fair game for Cano. I don't think it's a reach.
Yeah, I thought the value for Dozier was ridiculous. I do have Odor and Cano together right about that range. I think that's maybe a round earlier, but I've got Rendon ahead of both of them, and he went in the 6th round. So I'd rather have Rendon over those two.
You know what's strange about Brian Dozier? How does a guy who hits around 235 or 4 straight years hitting between 234 and 244, how does he rank so high in the rankings? Because he only stole 12 bases last year. You know, like are you worried that if he doesn't score 100 runs, that Dozier is going to disappoint this season?
Yeah, I worry about that a little bit, but you know, not a lot. And I mean, when I say I worry about a little bit, it means that when it is the 3rd or the 4th round and I'm looking at him, it's not an absolute slam dunk, but it also doesn't mean I won't necessarily draft him at that point. And I do think he'll score a lot of runs. Mm-hmm. I think the steals, even if it's in the mid teens, is helpful. And he walks a good amount of the time in a points format. Okay. He doesn't strike out that much.
That's how he does it. He walks and hits for power at a position where pretty much no one does that.
That is Brian Dozier, who you would think would be in a pretty good spot to score 100 runs. All right, injuries, news, and notes. AJ Pollock, we mentioned him, not expected into the DL stint. Taylor Naquin, on track to be Cleveland's opening day center fielder, according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. So looking at Naquin's minor league numbers, he's hit 300 or better in both 2014 and 15 in the minors with around 14 steals and 370, 380 on base percentage. So tell me about Taylor Naquin and if we should be drafting him.
First of all, I thought it was Tyler.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it Tyler? I was so worried about pronouncing his last name properly.
It is Tyler.
Tyler Naquin.
Stop making names up, Adam.
Tyler Naquin.
Yeah. Well, that 300 average that you mentioned, that was a double A. And then when he got promoted to triple A, it actually sank down to 263. But I do have some skepticism that he's a guy that you can draft for average. And the steals help is really just pretty modest. If we're going to talk about players who are on the verge of grabbing center field jobs, I'd actually much rather have Keon Broxton, who hits for a little bit more power and is going to steal more bases. I just strike out a little bit more, but on balance, I'd rank Broxton ahead of Naquin.
Okay. Yasmani Grandal needs tests on his forearm, and this is just always tricky because today when we draft, for example, in a two-catcher roto league, I'm probably going to want to avoid Yasmani Grandal, and it might be foolish if he's fine. You're like, how do you approach this situation if you're drafting today and you're looking at Yasmani Grandal?
Well, you want to avoid him, but if he falls to a point to where it makes sense, you still take him.
Like what? Like, are you moving him down your rankings? Should I be taking Miguel Montero ahead of Yasmani Grandal?
I do not believe so, no.
Not that far. But yeah, no, I'm concerned. I'm moving him down the rankings.
Should I take Cervelli ahead of Yasmani Grandal?
No.
Nope. And Al, I think, likes Cervelli more than I do. I would take Hundley ahead of Grandal.
Oh, in a roto league, yeah. In a roto league, Nick Hundley was the number 7 catcher in fantasy last year with an injury.
I might take Yan Gomes, JT Realmuto, Blake Swihart.
I'm probably moving him just ahead of Cervelli. Behind Beef Wellington.
I was moving him just ahead of Beef Wellington.
Yep.
Beef Wellington Castillo.
It's the beef line.
Jacob deGrom's velocity down a little bit. Anybody concerned?
Not at this point.
I would say a little bit, kind of again in the way that I'm concerned about Dozier scoring that many runs. That when his name comes up in the queue, I'm looking a little bit more at what my other options are instead of just hit and click right away.
And I feel like DeGrom, you know, I've been a little concerned about Mets starting pitchers because of I always thought a failed World Series run was the worst possible thing for them, just all the innings it would put on their starting pitchers and without winning a World Series. But I'm just looking it up now. I don't think DeGrom had a very high. No, he went from 178 and two-thirds in 2014 to 216 in 2015. So it seems like a reasonable jump. I'm less concerned about him.
Yeah, and I feel that way.
Yeah, David Wright, I think I said 125 games they were hoping for him to play. Today I saw 135 games. I still don't want David Wright. Okay. Andre Ethier out 10 to 14 weeks with a broken leg. We talked about that one yesterday. Yeah, go ahead.
If we just get 3 more injuries, we're going to have some clarity in the Dodgers outfield.
Yeah. Colorado starting pitcher John Gray left Tuesday's start with an abdominal injury. Were you guys planning on drafting John Gray in any mixed leagues?
I had taken him in the last round or two in a couple of leagues. I haven't for a while now because there's been more players falling that I like. But I don't think I think it's possible that he's going to be decent, especially in weeks when he has 2 road starts.
And Detroit starting pitcher Daniel Norris needs tests on his back. So this is a guy who came over in the Price trade from Toronto. Are we hoping for better things from Daniel Norris? Forget about the back injury because he's not exactly on people's radars. But Norris this year, do you have expectations for him? Good expectations?
Very, very mild hopes for a breakout. I had some concern with him coming off of the thyroid surgery. But this is another concern. And, you know, yeah, he didn't do so great last year, but, so he came in with a lot of hype last year with some great minor league numbers. But, I would put the probability of him having a big breakout, you know, somewhere between like 10 and 20%.
I'm going to be the first one to say it in 2016. I have a little bit of a thing for Matt Boyd. I feel like, there's some potential there. And he's not going to get drafted, but if he does something good, I'll be one of the first people to pick up Matt Boyd.
You may also be the last person to say it.
Okay. That's fine. No, actually, I think Scott kind of likes Matt Boyd.
Scott was big on him last year. I don't know if he still is, though.
Well, he was really bad in the majors, but the guy's got nice stuff. Put it together. All right. And Mike Bolsinger will begin the season on the DL with an oblique injury. Some of the spring performers we should look at. Good stuff from the following guys. Michael Taylor, Ryan Rua, Mike Alfranco, who has 7 home runs, and Hunter Pence, who has appeared on a crappy sitcom, and he's got like 4 or 5 home runs, including 2 yesterday. Michael Taylor of the Nationals, Ryan Rua of the Rangers, Mike Alfranco, Phillies third baseman, and Hunter Pence, we know. So I don't know. Is it even worth mentioning these guys? Anything that we need to talk about here?
I think Taylor's interesting because I've been pretty much ignoring him, figuring he's a fourth outfielder, but he could get more playing time than that and filling in for Jason Worth and Ben Revere at times. And he wasn't very good last year, but sort of like I was just saying about Daniel Norris, he came in with some hype last year. He could be kind of a post type sleeper type that could be worth drafting in the late rounds.
I think Taylor is going to get some regular playing time as soon as Jason Worth or Bryce Harper gets hurt. And I will say, guys, you know how you always said you want the third pick? Right?
Yeah.
I don't want the third pick because I don't want Bryce Harper on my team this year.
You won't get him third.
I hope I don't. You know, I hope he gets taken first or second, but I don't even want that scenario. I want the second pick. I think Bryce Harper. I'm just scared. He's going to get hurt. I'm scared.
It's going to be okay.
I'm scared that Mike Trout's going to get hurt.
Why?
I'm just scared.
All right. Two pitchers that squared off yesterday, two sophomore New Yorkers. Steven Matz had another bad start. And Luis Severino, pretty good start. Wasn't great at the end, but he's having a great spring. 3.86 ERA, but 3 walks, 19 strikeouts in 16 and a third. Severino's having a solid spring. Matz is having a really bad spring. I don't want to get sucked into the trap. Spring training stats can be worthless. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Just nodding in agreement with spring training stats are worthless in most cases. I don't read much into either of these. They're still both huge question marks as pitchers who only pitched a fraction of their rookie seasons. So we don't know what we're going to get.
Okay. So let's read a couple of team names here on Wednesday. Leftovers from Team Name Tuesday from Ryan B. Yo, Annie and the Mets.
Pretty good.
Not bad, right? And Ridge gives us No Country for Youngman.
Okay. That's not bad.
It's very good.
But here's the problem. You got an email earlier this week with the greatest team name we've ever had sent to us.
Ooh, I must have missed it.
It started with you, YU.
Uh-huh.
Then it gave reference to Mookie Betts. You Betts Urias.
Oh, I didn't think that was that funny.
That's hilarious. Are you kidding me? Like, Al almost fell out of his chair.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You Betts Urias.
My emotional age level has just been revealed. Yeah.
I don't think that's that good. I'm sorry.
It's the best one that's ever been sent to us.
Oh, wow. Oh, God. We're going to have a really lousy Rejects League if this is your criteria. This is what you think is best.
That was not an application for the Rejects League.
I know, but I just don't really trust your judgment now.
Well, I got a message on Twitter saying I hope that you're starting a Rejects League because that list of names that Adam read off sounded kind of suspect.
Why?
I don't know.
There's nothing suspect about it at all. It was completely above board.
I think like 4 of these people are related to you.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not the case.
They are related to Kevin Gausman.
Let's fill in the blank and then review the draft a little bit. Fill in the blank from Chris Bunn. Jock Peterson will hit blank home runs and steal blank bases. Last year, he hit 26 home runs with 4 steals. So homers and steals for Jock Peterson.
28 and 12.
I was going to say 24 and 14.
Jason Elridge, blank, wins Rookie of the Year in 2016.
So we got picked both leagues.
Sure.
Obviously. All right, well, I'm going to go Kyle Seager in the NL. That one feels pretty easy.
Yes.
How about Blake Snell in the AL?
You know what? I'll go a little bit. No, I don't even know if he qualifies. Is Buxton?
Oh, yeah. No, he's rookie eligible.
I'll go Buxton.
Oh, by the way, Al, breaking news. You just traded Kyle Seager to the National League. You picked him to win Rookie of the Year.
Did I say Kyle?
I'm pretty sure you did.
I thought you said Corey, but it's okay.
I think there's a really good chance I said Kyle.
I'm pretty sure you said Kyle, but well, what do I know? I don't even find that Urias joke funny. Here's a tweet from RB. Ketel Marte will steal blank bases and have an average of...
I think he will steal 22 bases with a 280 average.
That's pretty good.
I'm going to say 26 bases with a 272 average.
That's also pretty good. Ketel Marte. Who do you guys like better, Ketel Marte or Ian Desmond?
Desmond.
I've got Marte, and I was so mad yesterday when he got taken. I missed him in the draft. I missed him. And then the same guy screwed me at shortstop later in the draft.
Who would you rather have, Ketel Marte or Addison Russell?
I think I have Russell one spot higher. I'm not sure, though.
I think I have one spot higher, too.
Okay. Same range. Matt Gleason, the number of players who will finish in or above the 15 home run, 15 steal club is a tough one.
There were not very many of those last year.
Yeah. It does seem like there's some more candidates this year.
I mean, teams are just not running as much is the problem.
Right, that is true.
Okay, do you think either Goldschmidt or Trout will be 15-15?
I think Goldschmidt has a better chance than Trout.
I agree, actually.
I feel like Trout's done running.
He'll not get the steals. I'm going to say, or I got to come up with a number here, I'll just say an even 30.
30?
Looks like they were about 13 last year.
Okay, I thought it was more. 13?
That's...
I knew it was low. I didn't realize it was that low.
14. 14.
Oh, well, that changes everything.
Yes. I'm going
to
say...
I'll revise to 23.
I'll go 18.
All right, here's one from Chris Swick, old friend Chris Swick. Kenta Maeda's strikeout per nine will be blank this season. And here's another guy who's having a good spring.
8.7.
7.3.
Oh, wow. That's a big difference. That's one guy who wants to draft Kenta Maeda and one guy who doesn't.
Apparently.
From Rob Cowell, blank will end up being the biggest steal of the draft. By the way, you guys see parentheses on the notes I gave you. Those are my candidates, so you can agree.
I thought maybe it was multiple choice.
No. Blank will end up being the biggest steal of the draft.
Yay.
All right, fine. I'll go ahead and say my guys.
Okay.
Will right, Myers... I put on there Patrick Corbin, I really like, and Tyler Glasnow. I guess if I had to pick one, I'd say Corbin, but you guys go ahead.
I'll go Kyle Hendricks.
I'll go Jung Ho Kang.
AJ Smith, Travis Shaw will hit blank ding dongs.
I don't even know how much he's going to play. Let's say 14.
That sounds pretty good, but I'll be different and say 16.
Here's an email from John Dean, or a tweet, rather. If the guys on the podcast could be a soft drink, Adam would be blank, Al would be blank, Scott would be blank, and Heath would be blank.
Okay. Well, Scott's Mountain Dew, because you are what you drink.
Okay.
He drinks Mountain Dew?
Oh, yeah. Like, by the vat load.
Ugh, I'll have a crab juice.
I think Al would be root beer.
Al would be root beer?
Yes.
I like that.
Not Barks either, like A&W, the smooth root beer. It's very pleasant, not abrasive at all. Doesn't seem like it's quite as bad for you because it doesn't have so much caffeine and stuff.
I would really be just regular Coca-Cola Classic. Without the caffeine-free Coca-Cola Classic.
And I'm pretty sure I'm beer. Like, I don't really drink soft drinks.
I don't either.
But so I'll be beer.
I'm sort of old school, but I'm also very mellow. So caffeine-free Coca-Cola Classic for me. Here's one from Steven. Blank will be a guy you drafted late and gives you 25 home runs. Late round 25 home run guy.
I guess it depends how late is late, but I would say Chris Davis to the K.
Yeah, I think he's a fine option.
What about this player who I don't know that we've talked about at all? Alex Rodriguez, DH only.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. A-Rod.
I'm going to say no. And there was an opportunity to draft him, I think, in the reserve rounds yesterday. Did anybody take him?
Yes, he was drafted for sure.
Okay. And I thought, nah, I don't expect him to stay healthy, which I said last year. But Heath, as you well know, he's a year older.
He is a year older.
He's really old.
Old. Has many ages. I will say, I think he can hit 25 home runs. I mean, he hit, what, 35 last year?
Yeah, 33.
Yeah, I mean, 25 seems reasonable.
The thing is with him is last year you could play him at third base. This year he's DH only and he's not touching the field. The Yankees are pretty adamant about that. Other guys, Chris Carter, Mark Trumbo, Chris Davis, like we talked about.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question about Mike Fiers, who really I haven't considered drafting, but maybe I should. Had a better year than I realized. Nathan Pickle says Mike Fiers gets blank amount of starts and is a top blank pitcher this year. Mike Fiers.
Here's the problem with Mike Fiers, before I fill in the blanks, which is that the Astros have six viable starters when they're all healthy. That's including McCullers. So I
and that's
see,
also calling Scott Feldman.
Yeah,
they
Feldman
think he, they
out.
Think he's viable.
No, out. Fiers in, Feldman out.
Look, that's what all three of us would do. I'm going to speak for Scott and say Scott would do that.
Oh,
not,
for sure.
I'm not sure AJ Hinch will do that
I'm
all
not
season.
The thing is, they like Fiers out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
I don't think they see any chance that Feldman's good in the bullpen. So if they put Fiers, leave Fiers in the rotation, they're pretty much just cutting Feldman.
So I'm going to say 24 starts, top 100, which is a shame.
I'll say 27 starts, and I think top 100s, maybe top 90.
Okay, if Mike Fiers was starting in the was in the rotation start to finish and made 30 starts this year, where would you guys rank him?
Probably around 50, maybe 40 something.
I don't know if I would be quite that high on him. I was think my initial thought was 75, but that seems a little low, so I'll say 60.
All right. We're going to finish today's show with a little mock draft review, or no, real draft review from the head-to-head points spectacular. This was a 12-team league with head-to-head points as the format, obviously. Only one catcher, no middle infield, no corner infield, three outfielders, five starting pitchers, two relievers. And I have some thoughts on the draft, but I also want you guys to talk about your teams and what you think went right or wrong. And I'm going to critique your teams, all right?
Oh, good. Good. I was
looking forward to that.
He likes Al's team and he doesn't like mine.
I haven't seen your team yet.
I'm just telling you.
Okay, I do like Al's team. I wish you had a better second outfielder, but let's review it. Lucroy catcher, Jose Abreu, Ian Kinsler, Todd Frazier, Brandon Crawford, and then your outfield is Mike Trout, Matt Kemp, Curtis Granderson, with Shin-Soo Choo at utility, and you have Jackie Bradley, Cole Calhoun, and Mark Teixeira on the bench. Your pitchers are Kluber, Syndergaard, Verlander, Hendricks, and Rich Hill, with David Robertson and Vince Velasquez, and you have Juan Nicasio and AJ Ramos. My personal opinion, Al, Vince Velasquez will be starting ahead of Rich Hill. You will start David Robertson and AJ Ramos. You will move Velasquez to your rotation. And I don't really like Syndergaard, so I don't love your team. I'll give it a B+. I like a better outfield, and I think maybe you waited a little bit too long to get your fifth starter, because I feel like Rich Hill should be your sixth starter.
Now, that was completely intentional. And you're right. I don't expect Rich Hill to be my fifth starter. He's there, you know, for that 15-20% upside chance. But no, I in a points league, in a head-to-head points league, I stream my fifth starter pretty much every week.
But so why wouldn't you why wouldn't you draft more starting pitchers instead of having three hitters on your bench?
Because I think those guys have more value.
Jackie Bradley?
Yeah, I think Jackie Bradley has a chance to crack that outfield if Granderson tails off a little bit. I mean, he and Calhoun, I think, both have some breakout potential this year.
Okay. See, I love Vince Velasquez. I still think if he's the fifth starter, I like the top of the rotation. I don't like the middle of the rotation very much.
Who's the Phillies or
Verlander
or
no.
Al's?
Al's.
Okay. Let me read it again. Kluber, Syndergaard, Verlander, Hendricks and Hill. And with Nicasio Ramos and, or Nicasio and Velasquez as options.
I mean, if you're talking about, you're talking about Verlander as a top 36 pitcher and Hendricks as a top 48 pitcher. And that's if you have the worst at the number three and number four starter.
Al, I'm totally on board with you with Verlander, just so you know, I got your back.
Yeah, no, and I mean, there's risk there, right. But I actually have him ranked in my top 20, which I know nobody does, and I'm not drafting him that way. I drafted him as my third starter because I knew I could wait, but I think he's got the upside. I think he's got the upside of an ace.
I moved Kyle Hendricks way up in my rankings last week. You and Scott convinced me that I needed to get on board with Kyle Hendricks, but I've got him 59th. So I guess I've just not come far enough in the direction of Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah. Well, how good this team is, I think, is going to hinge on my bets on Verlander and Kemp. And you said you wish I had a better second outfielder. Kemp, like Verlander, drops way farther than I think he should. I take him a lot. And I think he's a high end number two, not a low end number two. But we'll see. I mean, he's been inconsistent. There is risk there, but you know, I made what I felt was a value play to fill other needs while other people were taking their second outfielders. I waited on Kemp, and if he and Verlander perform the way that I think they will, then yeah, I like this team.
Okay, let me pick apart Heath Cummings' team. He doesn't think he's gonna like it. It is a points league, so we've got some guys who are good in that format, such as Joey Votto and Matt Duffy. But Brian McCann is your catcher, Joey Votto, Jose Altuve, Matt Duffy. Right now you have Jose Reyes, but Eugenio Suarez will start the season as your shortstop. Outfield is Charlie Blackmon, Carlos Gomez, Adam Jones. And filling the Royals quota, we have Kendrys Morales as your utility with Justin Turner and, point specialist Denard Span on your bench. I love your hitters, Heath. Love them.
Yeah, I was very torn in the seventh round of this draft. I took Carlos Gomez, which I think is a steal, but I did not want to fill out my outfield that soon because of guys like Denard Span that fall into the 16th round. That's just the way it kept working. I really would like my hitters a lot more if I hadn't missed Ketel Marte by, I think, one pick. And then right before I took Eugenio Suarez, I was going to take Trevor Story. So I just had the Story Reyes combo, and Story was taken just immediately before him. So Suarez will be my shortstop probably for the first couple of months.
So your pitching staff, I think I really like your team. I don't know why you didn't think I would, but I do have one thing that could trip you up. Okay. Here's your pitching staff. It's Steven Strasburg, Sonny Gray, who is a lot better in this points format. He's, you know, borderline ace. Raisel Iglesias, Tyson Ross, Kenta Maeda. And you have Craig Kimbrell and Drew Storen as your closers. And if Storen doesn't pan out, there'll be somebody on waivers. Your bench has Tyler Glass now and Edinson Volquez. Edinson Volquez appears, in my opinion, to be a wasted pick. And Glass now, we don't know when he's coming up. So really, to me, you only have five starting pitchers that I actually want. And again, right. In this head-to-head points format with five bench spots, I usually only have one or two bench hitters, and I load up on starting pitchers so I can stream two start guys without having to go to the waiver wire and just have better two start options than everyone else. You guys, neither of you took that approach. So that would be my only critique, is I don't like your pitching depth. But in terms of your starters, I think you have an excellent squad.
See, the problem was when I look at my starting five, because I was thinking late. I generally stockpile my bench with pitchers as well. Mm-hmm. But I looked at my starting five, and I'm like, well, who am I going to take out? And I don't think I'm going to take any of these guys out. I will say that this was the league that I won last year, and Edinson Volquez was on my team and was in the starting lineup a lot. He was a top 35, top 40 pitcher last year in points leagues. He's got to throw a bunch of innings. He's got to be...
Not a wasted pick. I take that.
What's that?
Not a wasted pick. I was too harsh.
Thank you. I mean, I took him in the next to last round of the draft.
But I don't know that you could sit here and look at Iglesias and Kenta Maeda and say, I'm never taking them out of my lineup.
Well, I hope I'm not.
Yeah, you hope, but you got to plan for the worst.
Yeah, there's going to be some two-star pitcher. You're going to want to get in there, and I think one of those two guys is going to be the casualty if they're one-star pitchers.
It may be my idea. Iglesias, I'm starting to come around on getting really excited about.
What has changed just for some reason?
Well, the point of the draft that he's being taken at and what he did last year, I just don't see anybody that has that type of upside. If he can be as good, I mean, I don't think it's possible he can be as good as he was over that 5 or 6 star stretch. Nobody is. But I think he's shown more in terms of upside than anybody else you can get in that range.
Iglesias is pretty nasty. And actually, if we look at the range you're talking about in this mock draft, I'm leaving some pitchers out, but a lot of pitchers went, you know, a lot of pitchers go all the time. But Taijuan Walker goes in the middle of round 9, and he's part of a 3 or 4 round run of very high upside guys. Some established, some not so much. But Walker goes in the middle of round 9. Tyson Ross and Liriano go in round 10. Rodon and Matz, round 10, round 11. They go soon after Liriano and Ross. Joe Ross, first pick of round 12. Luis Severino went later in round 12. So we're looking at a 2.5 round range there. I think Iglesias went in that range. He did. He went at the end of round 11. And right then, Samardzija and Shields. I don't know. I still find it hard to find the guy who's going to stand out, which is why I don't really understand why Taijuan Walker goes so much earlier than Iglesias and Samardzija. Well, Samardzija, Iglesias and Shields and Iwakuma and Ventura and Steven Matz and Joe Ross and Severino. You know what I mean? Like, again, we talked about that with ADP, but it happened in this draft as well. Taijuan Walker, it's almost like he starts this run.
Yeah, and I will say in that round right before I picked, I would have taken Iwakuma, I would have taken Ventura, I would have taken Shields all before I took Iglesias.
Okay.
But none of the guys, like, I'm not excited about taking Samardzija or Ross ahead of him.
Gotcha. Some more observations from this draft. Troy Tulowitzki, 3rd pick of round 3. Chris Bryant, 4th pick of round 3 to Scott White. Scott White ends up, he takes Kershaw in the first round, leaving himself, you know, behind the 8 ball at hitter. And he ends up with Pollock and Chris Bryant with his next 2 picks. Like, that is pretty good value here.
Life's not fair sometimes.
But what do you think about Tulo, 3rd pick of round 3, Bryant, 4th pick of round 3?
To me, that feels a little early for Tulo, but I get it. I mean, it's just, especially if you're not big into risking with one of the really young shortstops. I just don't see myself going early 3rd round on Tulowitzki, but I don't think he should go a whole lot later than that. And I thought that was absolutely the place where he'd take Bryant. In fact, Heath and I both pretty much knew Scott was going to take him there, and whether it was Scott or somebody else, I mean, that's the spot where he
goes. Why didn't you take him, Al? You had the 2nd pick of round 3.
Who did I take at that point?
We'll tell you in 5 seconds. You took,
I'm sure
Corey,
it's a positional.
Kluber. See, that's the thing. You took Kluber. I wouldn't have done that. I would have taken.
But I'm at the turn. I'm waiting almost 2 whole rounds to fill pitcher.
But let's see who you could have had. You could have had Felix Hernandez and Noah Syndergaard or John Lester at rounds 4 and 5.
Syndergaard's my 2nd pitcher, so I feel completely vindicated there.
I know, but Al, you could have, instead of taking Kluber and Todd Frazier, which is what you did, you could have gone Chris Bryant and Felix Hernandez, and Garrett Cole went 1 spot ahead of that pick, but you could have gone, so let's refresh. Al started his draft with Mike Trout, and in the 2nd round, you took Jose Abreu. Now, you could have taken Chris Bryant in round 3 and Felix Hernandez in round 4. So would you rather have Felix and Bryant or Kluber and Frazier?
Yeah, I'd rather have Kluber and Frazier. And now that, you know, we're talking about this, I remember that was exactly my calculus, as I thought, okay, I could secure Kluber right here or get somebody who's probably around 15th in my starting pitcher rankings when it comes back, or probably one of Carpenter or Frazier will be there when I got back. Now, I was disappointed I couldn't get Carpenter. He seems to be going earlier and earlier now, but I was happier with that pairing than going Bryant and a number 15, number 16 starter overall.
This draft worked out really well for Scott.
Did it?
Yeah. I thought after the first 4 picks, he had the best. I don't know how he could have started out much better.
Okay, so he had Kershaw, Pollock, Chris Bryant, and who was his 4th pick?
Archer. And I say that as someone that will not take Kershaw in the first round and didn't like it when he took Kershaw 4th, but the fact that Pollock and Bryant and Archer fell to him with his next three picks makes the rest of the draft a lot easier.
And he took John Lester. Look at Scott's pitching staff. It's very interesting. Kershaw, Archer, Lester. There's no doubting that. And then he's got four guys who have a lot of upside but are not proven. Severino, Rodon, McCullers, and Smiley.
Kershaw, this is the Scott White team of this year.
Yeah, Kershaw, Lester, Archer, and then Severino, Rodon, Smiley, and McCullers. What do you guys think about that pitching staff?
In a way, I think it's too good. Although, as I said to Heath, I will never question Scott, and especially in a points league, because he has such a long history of doing so well in this format. But as I said before, I intentionally didn't really draft a fifth starter because I know from experience that I always stream at least one slot, sometimes two every week. And it seems sort of like pitching overkill.
Well,
I'm looking at the hitters to see if he paid for it.
He did.
No, this is what he did. What he did was he waited and he took points league specialists. He took Carlos Santana. He took Joe Panic. He took Jung Ho Gong as a starting shortstop. So he needs a shortstop perhaps at the beginning of the season. But that's Scott knows this format very well, where he waits on Santana and Panic knowing they're so much better in this points league format.
The point, I think, is Scott's sacrificing 3 to 4 positions to be elite at pitcher, at starting pitcher. He's going to, and he's done this almost every draft we've had. He has one of the worst catchers in the league.
Real
he has
Luton.
one of the worst first basemen in the league. And even in a points league where Santana's a specialist, he's a specialist that gets him into the top 12. He's not a specialist that's going to be a top 5.
Right.
So he has one of the worst catchers, one of the worst first basemen. Most likely, I would suspect he's going to have the worst production from his relief pitchers unless he...
No, I don't agree. He has Doolittle and Tolleson. I don't necessarily agree. And he has Will Smith.
Well, I do like waiting for that class of reliever.
Okay.
I think...
That's not to say the approach is wrong.
That's a good place to sacrifice if you're going to go this route.
I just think those three places, and then maybe second base. I mean, I think people that are optimistic about Panic expect him to be the 8th or 9th best second baseman.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. He's not going upside there. That's for sure.
He's behind at 3 to 4 positions. He's way ahead at starting pitcher. It'll be interesting to see how it works. It's not the normal Scott White approach from what I've been told.
No.
I don't think he overloaded on starting pitcher. I mean, look, he got good values. Severino, Rodon, McCullers, and Smiley, it's not like he was taking them in the early rounds here. Yeah, these are like round 10 and later, I think. Maybe Rodon was round 9. No, Rodon was now round 9. Severino was round 12. Smiley was round 14. And McCullers was round 16.
I think the point is, if you could get 3 of those guys, and with that round 9 pick, you could have gotten a good catcher or a...
Yeah, McCann went. You took McCann towards the end of round 9.
Okay. Or you could have gotten a better first baseman or second baseman. Then you just wouldn't be sacrificing quite as much at 3 or 4 different positions. I'm not saying it's a bad strategy. It's just different than the one that he normally employs or the one that I'm going to employ this year.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap things up here on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast on this Wednesday. We'll talk about our Roto draft on tomorrow's show and much, much more. Thank you to Al Melchior and Heath Cummings. Guys, this was fun. Thank you, fellas.
Fun for me, too.
Heath, did you have fun?
Yes, lots of fun.
Good. I'm Adam Azer. We'll talk to you tomorrow.